Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Named to Talkers Magazine's Heavy 100 for the third straight year.
We tell you over and over again that you're wonderful, and you just don't get it. What's wrong with you?
Congratulations, Jim Blasingame, our small business advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, and I'm glad you're here. Some people call me Mr. Wonderful. That's what Rich Galen calls me. Rich is with us. He's the guy who writes the cyber column Mullings. Mullings.com is the website where you can subscribe. It comes thrice weekly. He is of the Republican persuasion. And one of the reasons Rich is here today is because he's got some background in Iraq, having spent many months over there a year or so ago helping the Iraqis get their organization, their government organized over there and get the word out about what was happening over there. Rich spent some time over there, and I've asked Rich to join me today because I want him to kind of be my co-host as we talk to another great American, June Reed, who is in Baghdad right now. Rich, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Nice to be with you.
It's good to have you here. And June Reed, ladies and gentlemen, as many of you know, those of you who listen to the show on a regular basis know that June is in Iraq. She's actually in Baghdad at this moment. And she's senior consultant for the Iraqi Reconstruction Management Office in Baghdad. June, welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much. It's nice to be here always.
It's good to have you back. And say hello to Rich.
Hello, Rich. How are you?
There's some reticence. That's very smart of you to have some reticence in saying hello to me.
Not at all.
I've warned her about you.
Even if it's just via phone.
Rich, I've warned her about you, so she's appropriately cautioned. June, I'd like for you to take a moment and give us a little tour of what happened yesterday in Iraq.
Well, yesterday in Iraq was really a watershed event. There was very, very little violence on a relative basis. We have to understand that in Iraq, often there is violence associated, at least in many people's minds. That's the only picture they have. There's very little violence and very little trouble. And approximately 15 million people voted. It's a much more significant percentage of the population who are eligible to vote and registered voters than vote in the United States. Essentially, there were some 33,000 polling places. We did have them well secured. They voted for 275-member National Assembly yesterday, and so the votes will be counted sometime. Probably take about a week, but it really, people were very happy. People dressed up in their best clothes often to go and vote, and were very happy, and again, were very proud to show their fingers stained with the purple ink that they voted. It was a great day.
Well,
very great day.
June, it was a great day for Iraqis. It's a great day for you and the work that you've been doing. The button's got to be popping off of your shirt right now, just because you got to be so proud of yourself and the other Americans, the other coalition members over there, and all the Iraqis for the courageous things that you're doing. Rich, your button's got to be popping off too, because you can take some credit for some of this.
Well, I think the Iraqis get the credit. You know, they did the lion's share of the security yesterday. I'm not sure if June saw this morning's or today's New York Times. It's 8 hours difference from where I am to where she is. But let me just read briefly from John Burns, who, as both of you know, is the senior correspondent for New York Times, and has been there since, I think, even before the invasion started. He's been there for a long time. Let's just read this part. He's not been a huge fan of what's been going on. But let me just read this. Only months ago, the prospect of crowds of voters lining up in Sunni areas, let me just turn the page here, across the country would have seemed illusionary to American officials and military commanders who have been asked to find a way toward political stability. When the Iraqis voted in January for a transitional government again in the constitutional referendum, the Sunnis boycotted. And then he goes on to say that you could have fired a shot down many of the streets without the risk of striking Sunni voters. And as June knows, yesterday, in some Sunni areas, the turnout was so high that they had to get more ballots. They had to actually suspend voting and take ballots from other places and bring them in because so many Sunnis turned out. And what this tells us, I think, is that the Sunnis have finally figured out that getting in on democracy is going to be the path to their future, not trying to stop democracy from happening, and that's pretty much what everybody's been working towards. So that's
June, what do you think? You
can
talk to the Sunnis?
Participation is the name of the game, and I think they learned that and saw what participation can do, and that they can actually be a force, and that they need to be part of the group that decides the future of Iraq, exactly its direction, how it will go, and how all of the issues will be resolved for everybody. It was very, very important. And one of the interesting things is that many clerics, who obviously have a great deal of sway here, simply did not tell anybody to vote religious lines or what to vote, just told them to vote.
June, hold on to that thought, June. I got to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about what some of those clerics were saying and how that message was different this time than it was a few months ago. 22. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and having a great visit with our good friend Rich Galen and June Reed. Rich is in the United States, but he spent a good bit of time in Iraq helping the Iraqis get their government and their lives straightened out over there, which they're actually doing right now. And we thank Rich for his time over there. June Reed is there now in her second year. She's in the second year of her work with the Iraqis. She's helping them build the economy over there and helping small businesses get established in Iraq. And so, as you know, that makes her another one of our great Americans who are putting service above self. And June, I'm told that in the last one of the last elections, that the message from some of the religious leaders over there that was going out over the loudspeakers was death to Americans. And I understand that yesterday that message was God will bless you if you vote. What do you think?
Yes, and in fact, that's what they did say. The major ayatollahs in the country actually just encouraged people to vote. Some other clerics made a few indications of where the party lines might be. But the vast majority of the ayatollahs and clerics basically said, it is a religious responsibility for you to vote, which, of course, carries a great deal of weight. But they did not say along which lines to vote. There was heavy campaigning for all groups here, especially in the Kurdish area. The two major parties really aligned together. They are very, very strong when they pull together, the KDP and the PUK, sure, forming the Kurdistan coalition. But essentially, the encouragement was vote, and the Iraqi people did do that, and it was fantastic. Also, I think there's a great deal of credit that should be given to the organization and protection and security that the election commissions, which was a multinational force,
right,
prepared for the elections. But it was really the fact that the Iraqi people went out and voted.
Rich,
and they had all kinds of elections, free election campaigning everywhere, posters everywhere, and television, etc. So they had an opportunity to think about a lot of things.
And Rich, apparently the Iraqis were in charge of security for this election.
Yeah, they did. And then, well, let me tell you why what June is doing is so critically important. You know, those of us who are in small business, we know how important this stuff is. But in that particular situation, June and her predecessor before her, Michael Fleischer, don't hang around in the green zone sipping, you know, green tea in the bunkers. I mean, she's out with the people all day, every day. She's very, very brave. But let me tell you why this is so crucial to the continuing success. If I'm a small businessman, if I'm opening a shop, and I hear that somebody's planning to explode a bomb, you know, on my block, and those kinds of things, those things became known fairly quickly in the areas they were going. If I'm unemployed and I'm not doing anything, I don't care. I may stand off and watch it happen. But if my shop is likely to be blown up or be harmed, and my business is going to go away in literally a flash, I'm likely to tell an Iraqi security person that that's going to happen. And as June's work continues and we reach critical mass, of Iraqis taking not only control of their own security, but control of their economic lives. That's what I think has brought us to this tipping point. So she gets an enormous amount of credit because it's now Iraqis taking responsibility right. for their own futures.
Well said, Rich. And it's the word that I think of as I hear you saying these things, Rich. And June, I'd like your thoughts on this because you've been a big part of this. The word I think about is ownership. June, what do you think?
Oh, absolutely. People have a stake in the future. When they believe in themselves and a future, they will work very hard to, you know, obtain all the things that are necessary for their children and their children's children and to build their nation. It's very, very important, and that's exactly what all those small business loans, those 20,000 business loans we have,
right.
The small microloans do, as an example.
How is the economy doing over there, June, right now?
The economy is doing better. I wouldn't say it's perfect. There are still many people on the sideline. There's over $500 billion in liquidity in this region, and it hasn't all poured into Iraq. However, as an example, there are going to be 20 new cement plants given, brand new, greenfield, $150 million each, and there was an overwhelming response of people who wanted to build them. Now, that's $3 billion coming into Iraq just for cement plants all over the country. In addition, there are two new greenfield ones up in the Kurdish area. So that's 22 cement plants, basically close to $4 billion, and people are taking those risks, bringing the money in here. Independent businessmen. It is true. There are lots of things that are going on like that.
Right.
So it is a positive sign.
Rich, do you think that the success that the Iraqis are having right now, and it obviously is, especially after what happened yesterday, do you think that maybe the reporting in the United States will start becoming a little more fair and balanced?
Well, if John Burns on the front page of the New York Times is any your estimate, then the answer is yes. I hope. I mean, as reporters, one of the problems has, and I'm not one of those people that beats up on reporters that are in Iraq, but one of the problems has been that it has the security situation has made it unsafe for reporters to get out very far, and the bad guys know that if they shoot a rocket out of a donkey cart at the Sheraton Hotel in downtown Baghdad, then CNN and Fox, who are headquartered in that compound, will probably cover that for the day. But as reporters can get out more and see the kinds of things that June is talking about, then they'll begin writing about that. And I think that over the next 3 or 4 months, we're going to see a change in the direction of reporting.
Stand by, June. Stand by, Rich. We're going to take a quick break, folks. It's 10 till. We're having a great visit with two great Americans, June Reed and Rich Galen. And we'll be right back after these messages. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Rich Galen is our guest. And, Rich, give us your website, please.
www.mullings.com.
And that's where you can subscribe to his thrice-weekly cyber column. It's a good one, too, by the way. June, have you got a website? Is the Iraqi Reconstruction Management Office have a website?
Well, the U.S. State Department has a website.
All right.
So that's...
Check it out there, folks. Rich, we got to get June a blog. You know what I mean?
I think that's right.
We got to get her a blog with pictures and that whole thing. June, here's my question to you. With all the success that the Iraqis are having right now, can we now sort of quit talking about Iraq devolving into a civil war? Do you think we're at that point yet?
Well, I think we're pretty close if we're not already there. I think there are a lot of issues to be resolved in the country. Many, many things are going to unfold as the Constitution is really interpreted, as well as there are numerous laws, many laws that have to be enacted. In the Constitution itself here in Iraq, it says laws to be enacted. So as those laws unfolded and are enacted, they will provide guidance and direction. There's going to be some people who are unhappy with some of them and others who are overjoyed.
Right.
I do think that it will be a very long learning process for exactly how the federalism and the balance of power will take place. But I think that in the long run, Iraqis are very interested in understanding how to work together. It would be a very big shame to have Iraq split into three. I think they really understand that. I think they might be more autonomous in terms of the regions than they are now. But I think in the long run, the Shiites and the Sunnis and the Kurds will see that there is a lot of benefit to working together.
Rich, you have a question for June.
Well, the interesting thing is in America we made a hash of the first time we tried to be so federalist that the Articles of Confederation were tossed out completely. That didn't work, and even when we did have a finished constitution, we had to amend it immediately, not once but 10 times, and that became the Bill of Rights. So, So June is exactly right. This is going to be an ongoing process. But June, what numbers do you use to indicate the economic growth or the state of the economy in Iraq when you're talking to people like me?
Well, actually, it's very difficult because there are very few national numbers that are collected. But we use secondary indications. One is we use a number of businesses registered. So we do look at that. There are a number of surveys, which actually has been proven to be the best indicator. And one in terms of people's perceptions, but also how their particular income. We look at national income, which has increased. We adjust that for inflation. We use other secondary indications, such as new banks opening.
How many new banks are there, June?
Well, you know, it's very difficult to tell. There are more banks opening all the time that we haven't that we didn't know about. There are several new banks. There are those that apply and those that show up. And in terms of, there are two international banks that have purchased shares, one about 49% and one about 85% in private banks here in Iraq, which will bring modernization in terms of private banking. And one of them especially, HSBC, has been very aggressive in terms of bringing new ideas and progressive perspectives on lending.
June, pardon me for interrupting you, but we're running short on time. Rich, one of the keys to whether a country is going to make it or not is when foreigners invest capital in it. And it sounds like that's what's happening, doesn't it?
It does. And as you and I have talked about over time, the neighbors, Kuwait, Bahrain, Qatar, UAE, they're all now gazing over that border and trying to figure out where they're going to fit into this new economic engine that's beginning to rev up in a place called Iraq.
Absolutely. June, I'm going to give you the last thoughts. I've got about a little less than a minute. Before I do, though, I want to say again, thank you for all the work that you're doing. I know Rich joins me in saying that to you, and Americans listening all over America listening to you right now are giving you a nice warm thought, June, and for you and all the other members of your organization. 30 seconds, last thoughts, June.
Well, first, thank you all for everyone here. Everyone appreciates it very much. We are looking forward to the holidays just like everyone else. And the last thing is that we think that a number of things in terms of Iraq for the Iraqis are converging. Economics is actually getting better. The security is going to be better, and we have a perspective about that in terms of Iraq managing its own security. And the reconstruction projects are actually coming to fruition, which will provide a fantastic infrastructure. Things are going to happen. People should keep an eye on Iraq
carefully. Well done, June. And give my best to everyone over there. Happy holidays, June. Rich, happy Hanukkah, sir. See you next time.
Thank you very much.
Rich Galen, ladies and gentlemen, and June Reed. I'm Jim Blasingame. I'll be back on the other side of the news. Don't go away.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.